All right, so let's pray and then start this, okay? Yeah, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your presence. God, we thank you that you meet us where we're at. Although we deserve, God, your wrath and your condemnation. God, we thank you that you're so kind to us. And that you lead us back, God, into your presence. I just pray for your spirit to be over this place. God, we pray for your spirit to be in your words. God, that it would land and write, God, on our hearts. It would cause us, God, to be bowed before you. And, God, that you would, God, do the work of transformation. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to start with a quote. We're going to talk about the Holy Spirit and the Spirit's work and our response in humility and meekness. So we're going to talk about these two terms, and sometimes it's translated gentleness when you're talking about meekness, but you'll see, you're going to see some a little Greek. Not to throw you off, but I want you to understand why the New Testament and the Old Testament take such an importance. If there's one thing that's conditional about continuing grace, is that God gives grace to the humble. So God will meet us. We didn't deserve it. He will give us grace. He gave us his Son. He gave us the Holy Spirit. But to continue in grace, it's conditional. I know. I thought God was unconditional. Well, God doesn't shove grace down our throats. If we don't want grace, then he's not going to shove it down your throat. Now, to be honest, there have been times where I felt like God was shoving grace down my throat. He got my attention. And what I mean by this in the conditional sense, there's a part that God has in humbling us. And then there is this other conditional aspect where we humble ourselves. So the command to humble ourselves is there, but clearly there's a work of humbling. And now, we don't call that humbling. A lot of times what Scripture uses, it calls it discipline. But we're not going to talk about that aspect because God disciplines us to bring us to a place where we can humble ourselves. Again, God is not going to force us to receive grace continually. It is not a coercive. So God frees us. We saw that today in Galatians. And so there isn't a coercion. We follow Jesus, not because we have to, because we what? Now, let me hear it.
We want to.
Thank you. Wow, it takes a visitor sometimes to. Thank you. I appreciate that. All right. I'm going to read this. Now, humble people. Like when we meet humble people, how do you... I want us to leave today very clear about what humility looks like and what it doesn't look like. Because many of us, I can see, are from the Asian culture and we value manners, right? And our language has built in it honorific terms. That means like, you know, now in English, you know, like saying like, sir. But we talk very differently to our elders. And so when you have manners and you give good bows and, you know, it looks very humble, very humble. And older people, we love it. We love it. I'm not going to lie to you. People come up to me, you know, and like does the bowing thing and says all kinds of stuff, flattering stuff, you know, gives me that kind of deference and respect. Who doesn't like stuff like that? That's not humility. It's not humility. Now, C.S. Lewis understood this. I'm going to read this quote in Mere Christianity. "Do not imagine that if you meet a really humble man, he will be what most people call humble. Nowadays, he will not be a sort of greasy, smarmy person." Now, here, greasy, now Korean, because this was in this context, it's almost, it was actually shocked, because C.S. Lewis uses this term in a very Korean way. It's that feeling you get when you eat too much sweets and junky stuff, like fatty stuff. You ever eat like really fatty stuff? You're not full, but you don't want to eat anymore? Like really greasy stuff? That. It's called nukihe, right? You know? And then smarmy means very flattering type of person, right? So it's, you know? So smarmy means that, right? So you're talking about this person, you know, I was like, you know, it's like, oh, hey, you know, you're like, you're so, oh, what'd you do your hair? You know, hey, you know, you're so amazing, you know? And you just feel like, wow, like, why am I so like, not want to eat anymore, right? That kind of person. All right. He is nobody. He will not be, you might not even notice it. You probably don't notice it. Probably all of you will think about him is that he seemed a cheerful, intelligent chap who took a real interest in what you said to him. If you do dislike him, it will be because you feel a little envious of anyone who seems to enjoy life a little too easily. He will not be thinking about humility. He will not be thinking about himself at all. There's no doubt, you know, if you talk to, you know, Pastor Tintin, you know, he'll talk to you about, you know, like how sometimes he takes children, like American children, like to on a mission trip, like families, I mean, and then they'll go to Ecuador. And those children, you can have a cardboard box shaped like a ball. They're happy campers. They're happy campers. You know, it's like, and here, you hear your children say it a lot, right? I mean, I heard my children say it. I'm bored. I'm bored. Somebody please entertain me. It's your fault. I'm bored. What are we doing? All right. C.S. Lewis didn't define this, so ignore that quote. It's a copy and paste thing. All right, humble. There's a Greek word, tapenos. It means lowly, lowly. And many of you hear the term meek. Sometimes it's translated gentle, praus. It means tamed. It was originally used to describe horses, powerful horses that were tamed under control. What it does not mean, not harmful. Or harmless, not harmless, but not harmful. Okay? So a puppy would not be meek. It might be cute. Puppy's not gonna jump up and kill you. Alright? But a lion, right? If you read Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe, powerful, but tamed, under control, that would be gentle. That would be praus. That's what's meek. In Hebrew, there's a term called anau. Means bowed. Bowed. Right? Very similar to the word worship, which is to prostrate. And then there's another Hebrew word called kana. Means to bow the knee. A lot of physical posturing here, isn't there? In Hebrew. There's another word, shapal. It's also translated humble. Means lowly. Like it literally meant physically, like it was used in ancient Greek, like that word term lowly, just to like literally mean lowly, like things that were in the lowest place, right? And matter of fact, you know, the word, humble, if you ever, how many people like Greek food or Mediterranean food? Hummus, right? Right? Ground or earth, that's the Latin where the originated, right? Means, you know, low, to the earth, humility, humble. All right. So this is what Jesus says. Let's introduce to Jesus's character. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am what? I am a powerful being who is under control. God is not going to pounce on us. He is gentle and lowly. Now, Jesus Christ is submitted to the Father. He is lowly in that he is willing to go from the highest place. When you're talking about power that is under control, you're talking about the most powerful being in the universe, and he is lowly. He's come down very far in heart, and it says, and you will find rest for your souls. Matthew 5:5, and Jesus, this is what he's talking about. When you become a Christian, this is what it means. It says, blessed are the meek. Now, the word blessed means happy. Happy. Happy are the meek. Right? It's that word for that praus means submitted, tamed. You can't be tamed unless you submit it. Remember my story with Penny, my dog? My dog would not go low to the ground. It would not, when I say lie, Penny would not lie. 4-hour ordeal, right? Parking lot to parking lot. Barking, crying, doing everything it can not to submit, not to go low. You see? Not a very happy dog. Penny would bark all night, would not stop. We almost turned the dog in. Then after 4 hours of taming, finally, lie. Go low and stay there. Penny is a very happy dog. So blessed is Penny, right? For Penny what? Went low to the ground. Like, there's a reason Hebrew uses the term bowed or bow at the knee. There is, if we don't understand how important it is to physically prostrate ourselves, to physically prostrate ourselves, then perhaps you haven't really tried. It is important that we bow at the knee, bow to the ground, and it seems like when other people are looking, that's okay. It is a demonstration. Like people back in the old, didn't even think twice. They bowed. They laid on the ground. They would bow at the knee as a demonstration of their humility. It doesn't matter what other people think. Now, Jesus is getting what he's saying from Psalm 37. It says, but the humble, the bowed, it's literally used, but the bowed will inherit the land. And what? And will delight themselves in abundant prosperity. Are you bowed? When Jesus says this is the greatest commandment, the greatest commandment, every other commandment is subservient to this commandment. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Are we bowed? Or do you pray for your growth group? If you're in growth group, you're not bowed. There's nothing more important that I can do for my children to pray for them. Do you agree with that? How many of you agree with that? The most important thing you can do for your child is to pray. The most important thing you can do for a friend is to pray for them. It is. There's nothing that delights me more than to hear Robert tell me that he's praying for my children. The most important thing, I know this, most important thing I can do for you as your elder is to pray for you and to pray for your children if you have them. Or anything else that you even bring up. But see, I'm bowed. The thing is, I know I struggle my relationship with God because I don't want to bow anymore. Sometimes you ever get that temptation? Well, let me just pray, you know, like God, you know, pray and also, you know, like I'll just sit down and pray. I'll just like, you know, it's like, why not bow? Why not take an extra step to get out of your bed, get on your knees? Now, I'm not talking about people who have medical conditions, because they can actually lay flat on the ground and prostrate themselves. That's okay. But it's not this though. I can't be bothered. You have to be bothered. Submission is not just a heart issue, it's also a physical issue. And it's not just a physical issue, it's a heart issue. It's a heart issue. Now, if it wasn't physical, then the word for meek, the word for humble, wouldn't be a physical prostrating term. Why would Scripture say it like that if it didn't mean it? Numbers 12:3. Now the man Moses was very humble. Some translate that to be meek, but it's the word bowed. Moses was bowed more than anybody else. That means literally Moses would be on his face more than anybody else. And I bet you that's true. I know it's true. Nobody bowed before God more than Moses. He prayed more than most people. There is no humility without being bowed before God. 2 Kings 22. This is King Josiah. A lot of wrong things are going on in the land. And when Josiah was convicted in his heart, right? He repented. Let's pick up what it says. Because your heart, this is the heart of King Josiah, was penitent and you humbled yourself. Now that's the word kana, which means he was bent to the knees. This was King Josiah. Down on his knees. Because you humbled yourself before the Lord. When you heard how I spoke against this place and against the inhabitants, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and you have torn your clothes and wept before me. I also have heard you, declares the Lord. Jesus, God, is not only listening, okay, but he is inviting us to come and be bowed before him. To be bent at the knees. Isaiah 57:15. For thus says the one who is high and lifted up, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place, and also with him who is a contrite and lowly spirit. The thing about it is, you know what? If I bow at my knees, fall flat on my ground, and we're a church who falls to the ground, who is bent at the knees, and newcomers come in, I don't care who knows. Because you know why? Nothing matters if people come in here and the presence of God is not in this place. It doesn't matter how friendly the place is. It doesn't. The most important time, right, of our service is going to be our time of prayer. Agree or disagree? Well, let's just say it. Let's not lie to the Lord. The Bible calls the house of worship a house of prayer. It's not a house of praise. It's not a house of sermons. It's not a house of teaching. In of themselves is not bad. Because if we come in here, and we're not submitted before the Lord, if you've not gotten down on your knees pleading with God, God, I know what you're saying. but I'm not submitted to them because I don't pray for anybody else. Maybe I pray for me, I pray for my children, then it's spotty after that. But I don't want to be okay with that, is it? Right? I don't want to be okay with that. The problem here, right, in our relationship with God, it starts and ends with submission. If we feel like the grace, I need more grace. I want grace in my life. How many people want more grace in their lives? Raise your hand. Just raise your hand. Not everybody's raising their hands. All right. What you want most in your life, if you want grace, more grace in your life, more, like, you want to say things to your children, and you want that to just be full of grace, so it blesses them. You know, because all you'll do is, yeah. You know what I mean? You've been there, I've done that. I want grace. When I clean up, I want grace. You know what I don't want to do? I don't want to humble myself. If you want more grace, you want to be more humble. In order to be more humble, oh, you better submit yourself to the Lord. There is no version of Christianity where you're not submitted to the most important command that God gives. The most important. If you want more grace in your family, you want more grace for your children, you want more grace for your husband, you want more grace for your wife, you want more grace for your siblings, you want more grace for your parents. If you want more grace, and you think that God does not think highly of humility, think again. Why didn't Jesus think of that? Why did he humble himself? From the highest place to the lowest place. Why did Jesus bend to the knees and get to the ground and prostrate himself when he prayed to the Father if it wasn't necessary? It's necessary. You know, we're like, oh, well, you know, just but I'm praying, I'm prostrated in my heart, but we can't be bothered. Do you know what I mean? If we want grace, then if you can't be submitted, at least talk to Jesus. You know, I don't like people. I don't even like to go out of my house. You know what's really been good? Our air conditioner's broke. Guess what? I like to watch a little TV sometimes in my room, right? You know what's not working in my room? Ellen will testify. The air conditioning is not working. It hasn't worked for a while. Now, the old Henry would have sweated and watched TV. But I do feel like, you know, God, like, you know, because the best time in my Christian walk, okay, I will say this. I was so addicted to TV because I was a latchkey kid. I was so addicted to TV, so addicted. I remember right out of flight school. I was in flight school and I was just wasting so much time. It was Saturday. I borrowed a whole bunch of videos from Blockbusters. Like, you probably don't even know, some of you, what Blockbuster was. It's a place where you go rent videos. They used to do stuff like that. You actually had to work to watch stuff at that time. And I would go, I rented a stack of them, I popped one in, I didn't even know, but then I popped the last one out, I watched the whole thing. I popped it in the morning. I didn't even know, but it was like pitch dark outside. And I knew I had a problem. I had a problem. I had a big problem. I threw out my TV that day. I was 24, 23. And I didn't buy another TV until I got married. Okay? As a gift to my wife, who needed her TV. Because I was going away for like 3 months or something like that, you know, because of the army training. But you know what? Whatever is holding us back, right, from submitting ourselves to say, God, you know what? I really care about what you're saying. I care that I need to submit myself to the most important commandment in all of Scripture. I want to submit myself. You know what I mean? Like, I want to submit myself to that. And God is not asking for perfection. You know what he's asking for? Submission. Not perfection, but submission. God knows we have issues in this area. We have authority issues, don't we? We sure do. But that's what it means to be lowly. It's like, you know what? Let me not think highly of myself. Let me not try to find an alternate path. No amount of Christian song listening. No amount of, you know, W91.9, okay, is going to get us around. No amount of, like, good sermons and no amount of anything is going to get around the fact that we have to submit to the most important commandment of Scripture. If we want more grace, that's the thing, isn't it? If we want more grace, if we want the Holy Spirit is postured to help us to do this. Matter of fact, the Holy Spirit is going to lead us and conviction of sin. That means sin is exactly what it is. Hamartia is to miss the mark. That means we're trying to find a path of the Christian faith that doesn't have to do this. Let me bypass the Christian, like the most important thing. Let me find some other thing. Cause, you know, homeless shelters and, you know, justice and, you know, let me just do anything but love people and be loved by people. Ephesians 4:2, it says, walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness. It's the word meek here, right? It means submitted, tamed, lowly. It says, with patient bearing with one another in love. It's now describing what this thing looks like. Eager to maintain what? The unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The Holy Spirit is going to help us to do this. This is the Holy Spirit's job. We're going to do it together. That's what the Holy Spirit is saying. You're not going to do it by yourself. The Holy Spirit is not going to help you to be the best Christian you can be apart from other people. Unity of the Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit's, like, mission. Notice in James 4:7, it says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Now, submission comes before all of this now, right? It says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts. You double-minded, be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter turn to mourning and your joy to gloom. What's another way to humble yourself? It says, humble yourselves before the Lord and he will exalt you. James thinks that submitting yourselves to the Lord is the same thing as humbling yourself before the Lord. And you know, it's okay. It's okay. We're going to get to the ground. We're going to go low. We're going to humble ourselves. We're going to prostrate before God. And then in due time, right? In due time, God is going to answer his prayers in his timing. And you know what? There's no greater place than to be humbled and wait for the Lord to act. He will answer your prayers, I promise you. He will give the desires of your heart. But this is important. Just say, God, I don't even know where to begin, God. I'm just going to get on my knees and I'm going to say, God, I submit. I submit. That's it. Like, you're saying this is really hard for me. You know? It's really hard, like, opening myself up to other people. Like, you know what I mean? Like, this is really hard. But you know what? I submit. I submit. Man. Blessed. That means happy are those who submit. We're trying to find happiness in our independence, in our uniqueness. And what God is saying is that's not it. It's the oneness where the happiness has come from. When you're connected deeply to Him and to each other is the source of true happiness. And you will be happy. I promise you. If there's anything about my testimony, is the discovery of this. I love you guys. I say that. It's just like so honestly. I love you. And it's not for me, because I feel His love for you. I feel the love of people that are coming through the doors. And I want them to understand. I want them to feel what I feel. And I want us to get on our knees and say, you know, God, let them feel that. Let them know what it's like to be in love with God. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, you can be in love with God. And when you're in love, you can do anything. When I was in love with my wife, are you kidding me? Take the train, bus, hike 10 hours to go and see her? I'd have done it. I'd have done it. And I did. 5-hour round trip. 3 times a week. 3 times a week, 5 hours. Now, if you ask me to do it now, you guys are thinking, he won't do it. I know he won't do it. I'll do it. I'll do it. Amen. Thank you. Amen. I'll still do it. But all that love stuff, you know, like that's an aroma thing. It's not the thing in itself. Think about it. We all think that you can fall in love with God and then fall out of love with God like He's your girlfriend or something. No, you don't fall out of love with God. That's like not even a thing. That's like the most important thing in this life. You never fall out of love with God. Something is going on in your heart if you felt, because it's not Him. Let me put it that way. It's not Jesus. It's us. If you've fallen out of love with God, it's you. And it's okay, because I did. Until I realized it was me. Because there's nothing more important in this life than being in love with God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray for the Holy Spirit, God. Just help us right now. Just so help us. Thank you for your patience. God, thank you for your work. Thank you, God. We're so free. But help us to use that freedom to submit ourselves to the greatest commandments and just love you and to love others. But we need your help, God. Just right now. Spirit, lead those whom you're moving to really submit themselves to you. Right now. Holy Spirit, come and just fill them so that they would just be in love with you and just say, God, I just want to do this with you. I want to walk with you in a manner worthy of your calling, in the unity of the Spirit. I don't want to do this by myself anymore. I want to do it with you and do it with your church. God, in Jesus' name.